We also see that not knowing the holiness of God causes people to become callous, fleshly, selfish, and impure, greedy. What kind of life is that when you read what Paul writes there? What kind of life is that? It is a life with no hope that ends in being lost. That's futile. You know, as Solomon writes Ecclesiastes, he finishes the book, and you know, he's basically talking about his own life throughout that entire book. I've just wasted my life. That's what he's basically saying. From the time I was just shortly past 40 years old to the time that he died 40 years later, he says, I spent most of that time just wasting my life. Oh, I've got lots of money. And I've built lots of enormous buildings, and I've conquered a large kingdom. I'm probably the most powerful man in the world. I am dressed. In fact, Jesus is going to compare me one day to being dressed like better than Solomon, right? When he talks about the flowers of the field. I'm the man. And I've wasted my life. Because none of those things Solomon says are going to matter today when I die. All that's going to happen is all those things I've gathered, all those buildings I've built, all that money I have is going to be given to someone else. And who knows how they'll use it, right? He says, let's just get down to it. I'm going to tell you what I should have done. And that's fear God and keep His commandments. But that's the whole, not part. That's not what you're doing when you're not at work. That's the whole duty of man. And everything else is wasted and useless and futile. That's it. Why? He says that too. Because every deed will be brought before God. And He will make a judgment. Number five, we see in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. God is love, and those who are His children are to be people of love as well. Jesus said in John chapter 8, if God is your Father, do as your Father does, right? If Abraham is your Father, do as Abraham does. We are to be like our Father, and our Father is love. And there's no way in the world that we can ever separate ourselves from love and expect to be able to say, oh, I'm of God. Because it just will not work. I can't even love God if I don't love you. If I don't love Him, I don't have any hope at all. So love has to fully encompass my life. Where would we be? Where would you be right now if Jesus didn't love you? I don't know where you'd be. You probably wouldn't be in a church building, right? But I can tell you one place you'd be. Lost. And there's a lot of people out there today that if we don't love them like Jesus loved us, they're going to be lost. And that should break our hearts. As much as it breaks our hearts when we see people we love do things they shouldn't or suffer in some particular way. You know, when you think about your love that you have in your life, you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, really describes love. It really is kind of giving a set of parameters that should exist when love is in your life. Verses 4 through 8, it says, love is patient. Love is kind. Is not jealous, does not brag, and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. I've seen some Christians act unbecomingly at restaurants and other places. You know, just because your food's not right doesn't give you a right to be unbecoming. It does not seek its own. There's a hard one for us. We're going to talk more about that in the next couple of weeks. Is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. How many of us hold a grudge? Remember, if you want to be God, you got to be love. Does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. That's the love we're to have. And we have to look at our lives and we have to ask ourselves the hard questions as we look down that list. Which of those am I doing well and which of those am I not doing well? Because I can guarantee you we're doing some good and we're not doing some good. And we need to look at that. We need to decide and then we need to determine in our lives how to improve our love, that we may ever become more like the God we serve. Sixth, in chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, we see that there are those walking as children of light. He says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord." Immorality, impurity, greediness, they lead to one place, and that place is hell. That's where they go. And this is darkness. Paul says, don't be a part of that. Don't be with that. Don't suffer with that. It reminds me very much of the same thing he's trying to tell the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 when he says, "Hey, look back at the Israelites and what God did to them because of immorality, and don't think He won't do it to you. Learn from others' mistakes. Don't join in with them." And so we see here that these things are darkness, but the walk of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. God's children always ask, what pleases the Lord? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 says, "All that you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to Him." When we look at John in his writings, in the book of John, John calls Jesus the light. He goes on to talk in John chapter 3 about the light as far as that Jesus has come, or that the light has come, but people don't want the light, right? They don't want to see their lives. They don't want to see what God says about their lives because it condemns them, and so they'd rather be in darkness. We see light in 1 John, verse 7, where we walk in it, right? Another time in which walk is being used in the same way it's used here in Ephesians. That if we walk in the light as He Himself, Jesus Christ, is in the light, we have fellowship with Him. And His blood cleanses us of all sins. See, we've got to walk in the light. Walk as children. We are God's children, walking in the light of truth. And last of all, excuse me. Chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, we see that we are to be walking in wisdom. Therefore, he says, be careful how you walk. All right, so we need to stop and look, don't we? Careful. Pay attention to what you're doing. Pay attention to how you're living. Sometimes we just live day in and day out. We don't ever look, do we? It just flies by. We need to pay attention to how we're living. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Did you catch that? The other side, the opposite of foolishness, is knowing God's will. That's wisdom. That's what Proverbs proclaims. That's what Ecclesiastes proclaims. That wisdom is God's words. Psalm 119 tells us that as well. You know, people do such foolish things, and oftentimes they don't realize that every way of life, whatever it is, has a cost. Whatever you choose today or whatever you choose tomorrow, there is going to be a price that's paid. Might be good, might be bad, might be indifferent, but there's a price that's going to have to be paid. And certainly if it is sin, if it's a sinful lifestyle, the price is far too steep. You know, sin makes people callous, where they don't care about the future cost. They only care about the pleasure of the moment, right? Isn't that what Moses was talking about? Isn't that what we see with Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, where he did not choose the pleasures of sin for a season with Pharaoh and the Egyptians, but instead chose to suffer with the Egyptians? He had a view of the long haul, right? Oh, he could have stayed, and right then, right there, he'd been served, he'd been taken care of, he would have been a part of the royal household of the most powerful nation in the world. That would have been great. But it wasn't going to last. And I can tell you, if Moses didn't bring the 10 plagues on Egypt, somebody else would have. And he'd have gone down with them just like they did. It really didn't last very long after his choice. So he could have chosen it for a season, but he saw God and saw the long run. And that's what we have to do. Don't get caught up in the moment of present moment of pleasure, but instead realize that there is something much greater and that a future cost will have to be paid for such things. You know, people that walk foolishly, they don't seem to understand that one sin leads to another and then to another and then to another. They don't know that all sin is in some ways addictive. It's very easy to get into habits, and those habits become very hard to break. Even the things that they think are harmless can destroy them in time if they do nothing about it. Now, wherever you're going in your walk of life, one of these days you're going to get there. And there's only one question: where is there? You're walking somewhere tonight, and you're going to get there. Where are you heading? Only you and God know that, really. You know, there's an old story about a peasant who, while hoeing his field in the spring thaw, came across a snake. And he went to kill the snake with his hoe, but the snake begged him, "Oh, please don't. No, I'm so cold. I can't even hurt you. Don't hurt me. Don't do anything to me. I can't do anything. I'm so cold I can barely move." And the old peasant had compassion on the snake, and he picked up the half-dead serpent, and he put him inside his shirt and in his jacket. Now, I can tell you, I don't care what the snake says. I'm hoeing him, right? Somebody told me, "That's a good snake." I ain't no such thing. Hadn't been a good snake since before Genesis chapter 3. And I'm not going to let a one live that comes in my presence. But he puts it into his bosom. And as he continued to work and he continued to hoe, the snake began to warm up. And eventually, of course, the snake bit him. And he said, "Why'd you do that? I was kind to you. I took you in. I showed you compassion." And the snake said, "True. True you did. But do not blame me, because you knew that I was a snake when you picked me up. You knew it. You knew what I was. And you picked me up and brought me close to your life." You know, many people today take up sinful lifestyles and go about their business. And someday, when these things have passed away and they face eternity, they will cry out at the sin and they will accuse it. But it will be too late for some. It will be too late for them to have fix it at that time. And sin will reply, "You knew I was sinful. You knew it when you picked me up. You knew it when you took me for just a season what I was. Don't blame me. You should have never picked me up. Don't blame me. You knew that I would bite you." You know, when you get to where you're going to in your walk in life, where will you be? Well, you will be exactly where whatever manner of walk you've chosen. If it's a godly walk, if it's a wise walk, if it's a righteous walk, if it's a loving walk, you're going to wind up, and when you get to where you're going, you're going to be in heaven. If it's a disobedient walk, a foolish walk, a futile walk, when you get to where you're going, you're going to be lost. And you will have no excuse. And God will be perfectly just to say, "You chose to walk there. And that's what you got." And you will spend eternity knowing that you could have went another direction. That you could have walked another way. You could have been in heaven. Don't you think hell will be pretty hard just knowing that you could have been in heaven? You wonder if that's not what Peter's talking about when he says that those that have tasted Christianity or tasted the life of a child of God and have turned away, it's going to be worse for them than a person who's never known. Don't you think it's going to be worse because they had it, they were on their path, and they walked off? This evening, if you're not a child of God, where are you walking? If you're not a child of God, you're not walking toward heaven. You're not going toward eternal bliss. You're going toward something very terrible. You're going toward being lost. And there is no one in this room that wants that for you. And there is a God in heaven that has sent His Son to keep that from happening to you. If only you'll walk with Him. And you can do that this evening by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're a child of God and you at one time were walking with Christ. You were walking in love. You were walking and doing those good works that you need to be doing. But maybe you've gotten busy, and maybe you've gotten astray, and now you look around and the path doesn't look so clear and it's a little bit worldly. Get back on the wise path, the one that's built on the words of Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins, confess those to God, know that He's faithful and just to forgive you. If we can assist you, if we can pray for you, won't you let us as we stand, as we sing.